wisdom and knowledge appear, great pretense arises. When family ties are disturbed, devoted children arise. When people are unsettled, loyal ministers arise. What does all this mean? I will try to help you. You see, when the great way is lost, and we don't really understand what it means to awaken, we have to take a deep look at whether or not we have the capacity anymore for awakening. I have been with some very beautiful souls in India. People who were beyond the confines of their pretense, and they had abandoned that pretense long ago. It is interesting to be in their presence. I was sitting in a darshan with an awakened man who was very, very interesting to me. And he kept saying to his students, "You got to shake the tree. Shake the tree." What did this mean? No one seemed to really understand it. But then it was a realization that came to me as I left the ashram to walk back to my ashram where I lived and saw how the farmers shook the trees to get the fruit off the trees in high places. Oh. And imagine what the tree was thinking, as it were, getting shook like that because the fruit was too high for anyone to climb up and get. This is a great metaphor. Benevolence is far too high for righteousness. If you're a righteous person, you can never be benevolent. And when Lao Tzu talks about when wisdom and knowledge appear, a great pretense arises. We don't know the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is a barrier, not a bridge. It will help a person in the world for a while, but it will never bring about the shakeup that needs to really happen if I am to awaken. Rumi said, "Sell your cleverness. Sell all of your knowledge. Buy bewilderment," he said. Cleverness is mere opinion. Bewilderment, that, he said, is intuition. And one comes to the way through being bewildered, he said. To attain to the eyes of wonder, the wonder of, shall we say, not being knowledgeable, to be able to see others with the eyes of intimacy, not trying to be good or benevolent, but trying no longer to try to get something that the mind deems is its own. We need a shake-up. We need to be rattled. Just to live in the human as ordinary. And then to learn how to allow that ordinariness to change us. It's a beautiful thing. So when Lao Tzu says, when wisdom and knowledge appear, great pretense arises. Yeah, we sit there and we try to make something that we really know nothing about appear to be true, such as the way people talk about God and Jesus and Buddha. They don't know. They have no direct experience, but they have the knowledge that makes them appear to be substantial. So Lhasa takes it even further. The pretense goes, when the family ties are disturbed, devoted children arise. They become, shall we say, the devoted children. They become knowledgeable. They are devoted to what? To revolution or revelation? Mostly revolution. I know I was when I was younger. I had no idea there was a revelation to be had, and that the only true revolution was the revelation of love. I had no idea. But I knew there had to be something greater than the way I was looking at things. What is the revelation we need? We need to shake the trees. We need a shake-up, all of us. And this shake-up is where we find that the reality underneath our feet crumbles, because it isn't reality. It is pretense. The only reality we really know is pretense. Trying to make something fit my mental acuity so I can, quote, unquote, understand it. Really? This is as far as I go? For the most part, yes. So devoted children rise. They want revolution, but they have no revelation to understand what the revolution should be all about. Their revelation is they want more and better, and that's not what you build a revolution on. You build an inner revolution, shaking those trees in love, for the sake of a love that is greater than my passions and my emotions. So when people are unsettled, Lhasa says, loyal ministers arise, people of the collective arise, to try to calm people down, to give them what they can understand. And if I give you only what you understand, what good is that? You will only go back to pretense. I give you things that you can't understand. You must work at it. You must penetrate. You must shake those trees. You must go beyond the pretense of what you think of as reality. And when you do, and when you are unsettled, and when you are bewildered, this is the best place for us. Nothing is the same. I'm not trying to make things the way I need to believe that they are. What would be the greatest revelation and insight that you could ever have that would just rock your world? There are so many. That your personage really doesn't matter. Everything you've worked so hard for in this world just matters not. It is all dissolved in the impermanence of life and death. So everything we've worked for, where does it go? What does it mean? What is it all about? How about that people don't really love you like you'd like to believe they do? They love you because maybe they're just related to you. Or there is something in it, being around you, that prospers them. Brings them a sense of security in their DNA, their survival. Our survival instincts are much stronger than our spiritual inertia. We live in minutia, and minutia becomes our inertia. We're not very bright. We'd like to believe we're very smart, and that may be true. You may know what 2 and 2 is and what it equals, but you don't understand why the equation even exists in the first place. There are certain things here on earth that we deal with, we're unsettled by. We live in the pretense of creating philosophies. It's philosophies about death and killing. We think that the only way to have peace is to have might, to have the power to destroy each other, the power to hurt each other. This is the way we live. And we miss. Let me give you a story, something that might help here. A modern day master described how the Buddha had encouraged his monks by stating that those who practiced diligently would surely be enlightened in 7 days, or if not in 7 days, then in 7 months, or maybe even 7 years. Well, a young American monk heard of this and asked if it was still true. Is this true? The master promised that if the young monk was continuously mindful, without a break for only 7 days, he would awaken. He would find his revelation and his true revolution. Well, excited, the young monk started his 7 days. Only to be lost in forgetfulness 10 minutes later. Coming back to himself, he again started his 7 days, only to become once more lost in his mindless thoughts. Perhaps he would never awaken, he thought. And that troubled him for another 7 days. Again and again he began his 7 days. And again he lost his continuity, his mindfulness. He went into fighting with himself. A week later, he was not enlightened at all, but again became very much aware of his habitual fantasies and his wandering mind. Now, most people would quit right there. Oh, this is useless. I can't do it. I've had many a student leave because it was just too much work. And it was embarrassing. Their pride was embarrassed that they really couldn't awaken. They were just too filled with themselves and the fascination of their own thoughts. Well, whether or not this young monk ever found his way, I do not know. But the practice to real awakening was established. He understood his mind. He understood its habitual fantasies and why it wandered all over the prairie. This was a beginning for him. Now, if he were like most people, he would give up. That's what the pedestrian mentality does. Oh, this is too much trouble. Oh, this is too hard. Oh, I've been led astray. I've had students come to me and leave and say I led them astray, that this awakening didn't work because their pretense, trying to attempt to make something that is not the truth, the case, the truth. The truth is they couldn't do it. The truth is through all their past lives and the things that they did and did not do for themselves to awaken has now brought, well, the results. Can't do it because the mind is too filled with itself. It has only the continuity of fear and hate, desire, ambition, pride. That won't work. That may work in the world to get what you want, but it won't work in the bigger picture. This is the abandonment of the way. And this is why most people can't do it. Rumi was very right. He was right about the whole idea of give up your cleverness, your opinions. Live in bewilderment, in intuition. You only come to the light by being bewildered. To want no thing with all of your heart. Lhotse gives us the way. It is vague to the mind that is filled with knowledge and has only conflict within them, fighting knowledge with the idea that they'll find wisdom, and that just doesn't work. He who wins in this is the one who gives up the most about themselves. You got to shake those trees. The fruit, the divine fruit, lives high on the tree, in a place you can't crawl up, in a place you physically can't go. You have to want love more than wanting the precepts, concepts, pretense of human love. This is the real revolution. You don't allow yourself to sink into the confinement of just hypocrisy. You have to love yourself so much that you understand the beauty of yourself. It isn't the ego, it isn't the human. It's the self that is the soul. You are a soul. And once you join in to that, and that's a real revelation and revolution, you enter into something totally divine, totally beautiful. So to gain all of this, you must shake those trees. You must live in innocence and attain to it. If you can attain to innocence, you will find that your mind won't wander as it used to. You have to have eyes of intimacy to want to awaken to love, awaken by love, and whatever it is you need to go through to let love live you, that's what you do. Even though your ego, your pride, maybe your vanity will tell you no, no, no. You have to live in not knowing. Jesus was right. We know not what we do. Only don't know, as we say in Zen. Once you understand what the power is of not knowing, you will become ordinary, simple again. You will become vibrant, beautiful, understanding things you had never been before. And all of a sudden, there's nothing to fight. There is nothing to want. Only goodness and mercy are there. The taste of killing will be over within you. This killing has to do with every living thing on this earth. You will understand what it means to live beyond the instincts of survival, which is what most people do. They even make their God the instinct of survival. This whole idea of God's another problem, and we'll talk about that at another time. Let me give you our little sutra that we're going to meditate in. If you seek to embrace the way through the path of learning, the way will never be understood. If you observe the way with simplicity of heart, great indeed is the way. That is the Tao. That is what is most important. I hope you did not learn anything from all of this that I've given you in this series. I hope you have seen your pretense. and you are now willing to enter into the silence. Thank you.